What can we do for you?
You two have a pretty good view of my trailer. Have you seen anyone, besides me, of course, go in there?
Who don't we see go in your trailer? It's like a revolving door.
I agree. Anyone who looks suspicious, though? Like they shouldn't be there?
Anyone on set would have made it past security up front, so no. It's all cast or crew. And that tutor of yours.
Hmm. What about people going in there a lot when I'm not there?
We're not sure when you're in there or not.
He looked up as if thinking.
But I'd say your most frequent visitors are probably that tutor kid.
Of course. He was in there all the time.
The director's son.
Aaron, I filled in for him. And again, that didn't surprise me. He was always stocking my fridge and snacks.
And Faith.
Faith might have had reason to dislike me because she'd been unsuccessful when she tried out for the movie, but it was also completely expected that she'd be in and out of my trailer. Besides, I just couldn't picture her trying to sabotage me. I couldn't picture any of the people I worked with doing that.
What about Amanda?
Phil added.
I've seen her go in quite a bit.
Of course Amanda had been in my trailer a lot. She was my best friend on set. Okay, thanks. I backed away slowly. That hadn't helped at all. Tuesday we were filming at a campground an hour outside the city. All the trailers were lined up in a gravel parking lot, and the action was taking place 100 yards into the trees. There was a shallow cave that, with the right camera angles and lighting, would look much bigger on screen. And today that shallow cave was the setting for the bloodiest zombie scene in the entire script.
Cut!
Remy called.
Remember, Lacey, this is Scarlett's breaking point. Again, from the top.
I nodded and picked my way back toward the cave entrance, around fake body parts, when my foot met a human finger that was actually attached to someone.
Ouch!
The extra hissed, raising his head a little. Sorry, I said.
It's okay.
He put his head back down. We had already shot the beginning of the scene where I had just discovered the carnage. Now we were mid-scene, and I was covered in fake blood. It dripped from my fingers and onto the dirt floor. I made it back to the first zombie, my starting mark, and knelt beside her. Simone came over and poured more blood onto my palm. Thanks, I said. She laughed a little.
You're welcome?
I smiled and she backed out of the shot.
Quiet on set, Noah called. Slate in. Sound rolling. Camera rolling. Action,
Remy said. No, I screamed, bringing the limp form to my chest in a hug. No. I stood and tripped my way deeper into the cave. Please, no. I tried to walk again, but my foot snagged on my skirt, and I fell down to my knees where I was now eye to eye with the zombie's dead eyes staring into space. I cried out.
Cut,
Remy yelled.
Very good. I think we're done in here.
And just like that, the dead bodies lying on the cave floor stood and began talking to one another. I stood too. My hands were caked with blood and dirt. And I tried to wipe them off onto each other, which did nothing. Grant stood just beyond the lights. I hadn't realized he was watching. He wasn't in this scene at all.
Don't touch me,
he said as I came close. I held up my hand and lunged toward him. He let out a funny shriek and laughed.
Don't worry, I said. I'm coming after you and your kind tomorrow.
Can't we just be friends?
He asked. I paused for a moment and looked at his smirking face. It took me too long to realize he was talking about his character. Never, I said. It seemed I didn't trust anyone right now. I didn't use the shower in my trailer often, but I was done for the day, and there was no way I was getting into my car like this. I piled my bloody clothes by the rack for wardrobe and went into the small bathroom. When I was done, the shower walls looked straight from a crime scene. I tried to spray them off with the shower head,
but it was pointless. They'd need to be scrubbed. I stepped out of the shower and wrapped myself in a towel. The mirror was foggy with steam, so I wiped it with a hand towel and brushed through my hair. The sound of my trailer door shutting startled me. The little tri-fold door to the bathroom didn't lock, so I held it closed. "Hello?" I called. "Dad?" There was no answer. "Donovan?" Nothing. "I'm not dressed, so don't come in here. And I swear, if that's you, Amanda, and you jump out and scare me, I will never speak to you again." There was a rustling noise, but then the outside door shut again. I quickly dressed and slowly opened the door that led to the main part of the trailer. It was empty. I checked my table to see if maybe it was just Faith dropping off her visions. There was nothing. My fridge wasn't newly stocked either. This was not cool. I was not staying in my trailer today. I could do homework from home. I got my backpack and jumped down the metal steps. I turned to the left and headed for my car. Amanda's trailer was just past mine, and I slowed outside of it. I glanced over my shoulder to see a new set of security guards blocking the way to Grant's trailer. Why couldn't they guard all of us? I remembered what the other guard had said the night before. Amanda had been in my trailer a lot. I took a determined breath and knocked on Amanda's door. There was no answer. I started to leave, but changed my mind. I reached up and pulled on her door handle. It opened. I went inside and pushed myself against the closest wall. Her trailer was dim, all the blinds closed. It smelled like rose petals. Like Amanda. Anyone who smelled like rose petals couldn't be out to get me. Right? The trailer looked a lot like mine. A rack of clothes in the corner, a couch, small kitchenette, and bunk area. I wasn't sure what I was looking for. Incriminating evidence? A journal or something spelling out how she hated me? The thought made my eyes sting. She didn't hate me. We were friends. I knew that. Maybe that's why I was here, to put my mind to rest. I closed my eyes, then pushed myself off the wall. Apparently, I was doing this. I started at her cabinet in the corner. Like me, she had a script there. I riffled through all the pages, but it was just a script. Next to that was her phone. We weren't allowed to bring them on set, so it didn't surprise me that, like me, she left it in her trailer. I picked it up and pushed on the home button. It gave me the prompt for a passcode. I didn't know how to break into phones like someone on set did, so I put it back down. I spun around and went to her bunk. I checked under her pillow and blankets. Nothing. "You are a horrible person, Lacey," I said. But that didn't stop me from moving on to the kitchen drawers. I opened each one, reaching my hand all the way to the back. On the third drawer, my hand met with something hard. I pulled it out. It was a red plastic case. My breathing hitched because I knew exactly what this was before opening it. I opened it anyway, hoping I was wrong. I wasn't. The section of my zombie cheek that had gone missing was here, in Amanda's trailer, all along. My lip quivered, and I bit it, angry at the emotion that flooded through me. I shut the case and shoved it back in the drawer. Then I stood there, not sure what to do. Did I take it and show it to Remy? Would he think I had taken it? And if he believed me, what then? Would he replace Amanda? I didn't want him to. I liked her. She'd been my only real friend on set. But it was obviously one-sided. So I should just pretend this didn't happen? I didn't understand why she had done this. What sabotaging me did for her. I covered my face with my hands. Did this mean she called into that entertainment site too? Trying to trash my reputation with that article? Of course that's what it meant. I pushed the drawer shut and left her trailer, walking slowly until I reached my car. At home, I found an empty apartment. Not that my dad was the first person I wanted to talk to about this.
We still hadn't spoken since our last fight. I had wanted an apology from him, and he'd probably wanted the same from me. We were at a standoff. I thought about calling my mom. She'd be more sympathetic, sure, but she would also be more preoccupied. I paced the living room several times before deciding there was only one person who might help me feel better right now. Donovan Lake. 28. This time when I arrived on campus, it was busy. The bell must have just rung, because it felt like every student in the entire campus was now walking to their next class. I went straight for the journalism department.
Hey, isn't that...
I heard as I walked by a couple of guys. I didn't linger to hear how that sentence would finish. Before I made it to my sanctuary, two guys came up on either side of me. One said,
Are you Grant James's co-star? You're way prettier than that pic they posted.
That article must have passed around online even more than I realized. This is not how I wanted to become famous. I wanted to earn it with stellar performances. No, I said.
You totally are,
the other guy said. He put his arm around me, held up his phone, and leaned in. I wanted to tell him not to touch me, but I was afraid he was recording. I didn't need more bad press. I kept my head down, hoping that my face wouldn't turn out well in that picture. At this point, I was closer to the building in front of me than I was to my car, or I would have turned around and left. Finally, I couldn't handle it anymore. I shoved the guy off me, and they both left, but not before yelling out to anyone who would listen who I was. I picked up my pace and ducked inside the building. The journalism class that I'd been in before was halfway full and continuing to fill up. I scanned the room and the far office for Donovan. I saw him at the same desk he'd been sitting at before, his head bent over some papers. A new set of tears stung my eyes.
Are you Lacey Barnes? Someone asked from beside me. I'd love to get an interview.
Right. Now I was in the journalism department, where good journalists would be thinking that I would make a great story. I can't. I'm not.
Why did I keep saying that when it was obvious they knew exactly who I was?
I stepped around backpacks and people until I was in the office where Donovan sat. I shut the door behind me, and he looked up.
Lacey?
I need to get out of here.
Maybe he heard the tears in my voice, or the desperation in my eyes. Whatever it was, he didn't question me, just stood. He took my hand, opened the door, and dragged me through the room as several people called out his name, including the teacher. Outside, the halls were now almost empty, but he continued to hold my hand, like I needed a guide.
I'm sorry to make you leave class. I didn't know who else to go to, I said.
You chose well,
he responded. The second he said those words, the tears I'd somehow managed to hold in began pouring down my face. He clenched his jaw and squeezed my hand.
I don't want to be here.
I know. Where do you want to be?
I don't know.
He led me out to the parking lot where I pointed out my car.
Not spoiled, huh?
He said, obviously trying to make me laugh. The most I could manage was a smile. I handed him my keys, and he drove us away from the school.
Your house?
He asked.
I want to go far away from here, I said.
Okay.
He flipped a U-turn at the next stoplight and headed for the freeway. He drove for about an hour, neither of us saying much, before he pulled off the freeway and into the parking lot of a state beach. It was a weekday in October, so there were only a few other cars there, which I assumed belonged to the surfers I could see bobbing in the waves in the distance.
This is the beach my parents used to take us to a lot.
He put the car in park, turned it off, and got out. I followed him to a bench that faced the ocean, where we both sat down. We watched the waves roll in. One of the surfers caught one and rode it until it fizzled. The breeze blew hair across my face, and I tucked it behind my ears. my brain wouldn't shut off, my eyes stinging with the thoughts. Amanda hates me.
What?
He asked. In sobs and hiccups, I summarized talking to the security guards and searching Amanda's trailer. His face displayed the shock and sympathy he felt. When I was done, I pulled my knees up to my chest and buried my face in them. I just want to do my job. I don't understand why people are trying to stop me from doing that. I guess I'm unlikable.
Lacey,
he said. When I didn't lift my head, he softly said,
Lace.
I turned my head toward him so that now my cheek rested on my knees. My tears dripped sideways over the bridge of my nose and continued down the other side of my face.
I'm sorry,
he said. He put his hand on my back, as if he had no idea what to do. I had no idea either.
You are very likable.
I shrugged. I didn't think it was Amanda.
I'd hoped it wasn't her.
Back at your school, people knew me. He smiled a little.
You're getting famous.
This isn't how it was supposed to happen. People weren't supposed to know me for something negative.
I know.
Fresh tears followed the same trail. I sat back and looked up at the sky, trying to stop them. I hated crying when I wasn't trying to. But honestly, I don't care about that as much as I do about what Amanda did. I thought we were friends. She made it seem like we were friends. Maybe everyone just puts on an act. I looked at Donovan. Are we even friends? He slid closer to me and took my face in his hands. He used his thumbs to wipe beneath my eyes.
Of course we're friends.
Maybe I've been living in this world of fake emotions for so long that I don't even know what real ones are. He brought my face closer to him and kissed my forehead.
You know what real emotions are,
he whispered. There was something so comforting about that action that I pushed my forehead against his lips again, and he complied with another kiss there. Then I lifted my eyes to his. He paused, his mouth lingering near mine, his hand still holding my face. This felt real. I was done thinking, and I didn't wait for him to analyze this either, because I knew he would analyze this. And I knew he'd come to the wrong conclusion, that now might not be the right time for this. I took a breath and pressed my mouth against his. Maybe he wouldn't have come to the wrong conclusion, because he didn't hesitate at all. He kissed me back. He kissed me like this wasn't the first time the idea had occurred to him. And for the first time that day, I was able to forget about everything but that moment. His hands, now in my hair, his mouth moving across mine, my hands pressed against his chest, feeling his heart hammering fast. My heart sped to match the pace, taking my breath away. He groaned and pulled back.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Please don't be. Not for that. That was the most real kiss I'd ever experienced. Amanda would have called it my first kiss. It felt that way, because nothing before it even came close. He closed his eyes and brought me into a hug. I draped my legs over his lap and leaned my head against his chest as he held me.
So do you think Amanda leaked that story to the press too?
He finally asked. Yes, I do. He hummed a little. What should I do?
We'll figure something out.
I tightened my arms around him. You're the best.
How long have you thought so? Just today?
I laughed. At least since that time we talked on the phone and you blew me off.
I didn't blow you off.
He trailed off like he wasn't going to, or didn't want to finish that sentence. I sat back and looked at him. I was sure my face was red and blotchy, and my eyes were puffy. But he'd seen me in all stages of horrible, so I didn't really care. You don't date actresses.
That was part of it. And I work for your dad.
Hey, my dad is dating my makeup artist, so he has no room to talk. Well, my ex-makeup artist now. He smiled and shook his head.
You're Lacey Barnes. Famous,
he said, using my words against me.
It's just that I shared a lot with you that day on the phone, and I was convinced you were very close to becoming bored with me.
You're not boring.
Not yet.
Are you saying we're a bad match? We're a worse match than a zombie and zombie hunter. An actress and a critic.
Yes,
he said. Do you really think so? He ran a thumb along my bottom lip and then kissed it.
Yes. But apparently I've abandoned all good judgment, so I might not be a critic for long.
29. We sat on that bench for a while. The breeze coming in off the ocean was starting to make it cold. We'd outlasted the surfers and our cell phone batteries when Donovan said,
Should we head back?
Do we have to? I wasn't sure what time it was without my cell phone, but going by the sun, it was probably late afternoon. I wasn't exactly an expert on telling the time from the position of the sun, though.
Your dad is probably worried.
He won't be expecting me until 10 o'clock tonight.
Well, my mom probably started worrying the second the attendance line called, saying I missed school today.
I'm sorry about that again.
I wasn't trying to make you feel guilty.
He stood, my leg sliding off his lap as he did.
Let's at least move to the car. You're shivering. I have a phone charger in my backpack. I can see how in trouble I am.
He held out his hand for me. I took it, letting him help me to my feet. He could charge his cell phone. I really didn't want to charge mine. I was done on set for the day, so I had nobody looking for me. He kept hold of my hand as we walked to the car.
You still want me to drive?
Will you?
For sure.
He opened the door for me, and I slid in. Then he climbed in on the driver's side and started the car, turning on the heat. He connected his phone. He put his finger up as if telling me to hold on, then reached into his bag again and pulled out a hoodie. He passed it across the center console to me.
It might smell like paper or dry erase marker or something, but it's warm.
I had my own hoodie in the back, but I wasn't going to tell him that. I pulled it on. It didn't smell like anything but Donovan, a smell I didn't realize I knew until that moment. He tried to turn on his phone, but it didn't have enough battery power to do that. We can go, I said.
Do you...
He paused, hesitating for a moment.
I mean, what if we just went back to my house? If you don't want to go home yet, I mean.
I nodded. Sounds good.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
I looked at the ocean as he pulled out of the parking lot. I felt tired. I leaned my head up against the window and watched the world outside pass by in a colorful blur. He must have known I was past talking, because it was a silent car ride. I didn't mean to fall asleep, but eventually my eyes drifted closed. When I woke up, everything was still. It took me a minute to reorient myself, and another minute to realize I had woken up, because Donovan's hand was gently shaking my shoulder.
Hey,
he said.
We're here.
I lifted my head, my neck screaming in protest at the weird angle it had been in for the last hour. I rubbed at it and looked at the house in front of me. It was a small home in a neighborhood full of houses that looked exactly the same. The yard was nice, some bright pink and purple flowers in a window box, neatly trimmed grass, stepping stones carving a path to the front porch. It looked homey. Donovan jumped out of the car, and by the time I'd opened my door, he was around to give me a hand. He glanced over his shoulder up at the door, a nervous expression on his face. "Oh, I didn't ask. Are you in trouble? Had your parents blown up your phone?"
"No. I don't think my mom realizes yet that I wasn't at school."
"Do you need to go warn your parents or your sister that you're bringing company inside?" I asked, not sure what other reasons he'd have for being nervous.
"No, but I kind of need to warn you."
"Warn me about what? I'm pretty good with parents."
"I'm sure you are. No, my sister, she..."
He narrowed his eyes and studied my face. "What?" I hadn't put makeup on after my shower, so I knew my cry fest hadn't reduced me to a mess of mascara or anything. My hair might have been a bit crazy. When I brushed through it, like I had, my curls were unpredictable. I looked down at my outfit, which was just a pair of jeans, his hoodie, and flip-flops. Not fancy, but not bad either. Was he embarrassed of me?
"She's a huge fan."
It took me a second to process those words. "Of me?" I asked, incredulous.
"She loves the cafeteria more than I do, and she cried when your character died."
"Your sister, the freshman?"
"Yes, Kennedy."
"She got attached after 4 whole episodes?"
"What did I tell you? You were very convincing."
"You didn't tell me that."
"I told you that you were brilliant. That was an all-encompassing compliment."
"Oh, really? So you can say that you told me anything in the future, and it's covered under the brilliant umbrella?"
"Pretty much."
"I guess I'll brace myself for this, then."
"I apologize in advance."
He headed toward the steps, up to the front door, and I stood there taking in a few breaths and attempting to shake everything that happened today. I put on my happy face. I was about to have an audience. His mom, his sister, my only fan. I needed to be on, not a pathetic mess. He turned back, one eyebrow raised, his hair tousled from the wind, his skin a healthy glow from the time we'd spent outside. He was adorable. My heart fluttered.
"You coming?"
he asked. "I'm coming." He was right to warn me, because even after his warning, I wasn't expecting his sister's reaction. At first, it was completely normal. We walked into the kitchen, where his sister had spread peanut butter on some bread and was now adding sliced bananas to it. Donovan looked at me.
"Are you hungry?"
Was I? I hadn't eaten all day, but my stomach felt like a nervous mess. "Well, obviously," his sister said, not looking up. "Hence the sandwich."
"Kennedy, I wasn't talking to you."
"Then who were you talking to?" She looked up and immediately met my eyes. I didn't think she'd recognize who I was so fast, because most people took a moment to process someone out of context. But she must have known Donovan had been tutoring me or something, because her mouth immediately dropped open.
"Kennedy, this is..."
he started to say. His sister interrupted him with, "I know who she is! I don't live under a rock." I laughed a little. One didn't have to live under a rock to not know who I was. In fact, there was a very specific set of qualifications people needed to have to actually know who I was. Those included, be related to me in some way, go to Pacific High School, or be a rabid fan of the cafeteria, apparently. Well, at least before the article, those were the qualifications. Now... "Hi," I said. "Good to meet you, Kennedy." She had stopped topping her peanut butter with bananas and was now shaking her hands out and doing a running motion with her legs. "Donovan, why would you bring her here without warning me? Look at me. Do I look ready to meet a celebrity?"
"You look fine, Kennedy,"
he said, and I nodded my agreement. "Fine? Fine. Fine is not a good compliment. If you learned this, maybe you'd have a girlfriend." Donovan and I exchanged a quick smile.
She sighed a big, drawn-out sigh.
Well, I guess it's too late now. The first impression is over. You will forever know me as the after-volleyball hair, peanut butter and banana girl.
It could be worse, I said.
It could, she asked. The first time I met your brother, and the second and third for that matter, I was decomposing flesh girl. How is that worse? My brother is not a celebrity. My brother is nobody.
Thanks, Kennedy. Love you too.
She waved her hand at him.
You know what I mean. Well, I said, I think you're charming. And I'm not a celebrity either, so we're good.
I love your hair, she said. And you have beautiful skin. I see why that Zit Cream picked you for their commercial. I'm sorry everyone is being mean to you on the internet lately.
I sucked in a breath, her last comment catching me off guard.
Kennedy, she's trying to forget about that,
Donovan said.
Let's not bring it up again.
I'm sorry, she said. Then her eyes lit up.
You can stay here as long as you want.
She pushed her sandwich toward me.
You should eat this, and we can turn off the internet in the house and watch movies. Or the cafeteria. Do you want to watch it? I have all 6 seasons on DVD.
Kennedy, she doesn't want to watch herself on television.
I shrugged. I could watch myself on television. Kennedy laughed, and Donovan only looked surprised.
What? I said. It's a good show. You said so yourself.
His eyes lit up in amusement. I grabbed hold of his hand and squeezed. Does that make me a diva? I asked. This time he actually chuckled.
Not at all. I'm glad to see your confidence back.
A gasp sounded, and I turned to see Kennedy's mouth open again.
Wait, she said, looking at our clasped hands, then at the hoodie I wore. Are you two?
No.
Wait, are you?
I started to say yes when Donovan said,
No, we're not. Now go turn on the TV.
She ran out of the kitchen, and I dropped Donovan's hand.
Sorry,
he said.
She's usually not so excitable.
You warned me. He pointed at her abandoned sandwich.
Does that appeal to you at all?
No, thanks. I pulled my dead phone out of my pocket. Do you have a charger I can borrow? I left mine in my trailer.
Yes, I'll go get it.
He left, and I stood in the kitchen alone. Had I been stupid to think that the kiss on the beach meant something? He'd had an hour while I slept to analyze it over and over again. Had he decided it was a mistake? Had he just done it because he felt sorry for me? Because he was a nice guy? I didn't need his pity. I didn't want it, either.
30. I didn't say you could eat my sandwich, Kennedy said, as we walked into the living room.
After Donovan had plugged my phone into the charger on the kitchen counter, he had put Kennedy's sandwich on a plate and had already taken 3 big bites.
That was for Lacey.
I'm okay, I said.
Are you sure you don't want anything?
He asked around his mouthful. My stomach was already full of nervous energy, and this new fake happy face I was now putting on for both Donovan and his sister wasn't helping at all. I'm sure. Donovan studied my face for a moment and tilted his head as if he were going to call me out on my act, but then he sat down on the center cushion of the couch. Kennedy popped a DVD out of its case and put it in the player. I took in the room. There were several seating options. Obviously, a cushion on either side of Donovan, but there was also a love seat and 2 overstuffed chairs. I thought about taking one of the chairs, but then Donovan would think there was something wrong. He didn't need to know I was more invested in him than he was in me. A row of framed pictures along the mantle drew my attention, and I walked over and looked at them. They spanned several years and several locations. Disneyland, the beach, a birthday party. Most of them were of Donovan and his sister. His mom was in a couple. But it wasn't until the last picture that I saw his dad in one. It was taken right here in this living room. Kennedy was looking up at him in admiration. Donovan wasn't smiling,
and his dad stared straight at the camera, a neutral expression. Not sure this was a picture I would frame, but maybe there weren't many to choose from.
It's our family timeline,
Donovan said as I joined him on the couch. You two were adorable kids.
Are you saying we aren't adorable anymore?
He smiled over at me and then plunked his empty plate onto the coffee table, where both of his feet now rested as well. The home version of Donovan was very relaxed. It was nice.
I'm offended too, Kennedy said, sitting on the other side of Donovan.
You're both super adorable. I wedged myself into the corner of the couch and pulled my legs up under me.
You're just cuter 2 to 10 years ago.
Didn't I tell you she was rude?
Donovan said to Kennedy.
No, Kennedy said. You actually told me she was nicer than you expected her to be.
I gasped and backhanded Donovan across the chest.
He grabbed at his chest as if I'd hurt him.
You should take that as a compliment, Kennedy said. Most people don't get that glowing of a review.
So a critic of people, too. I settled more into the corner, sliding my legs out from under me so they now took up the space between me and Donovan. He shook his head.
No ganging up on me, you two.
You ready for awesomeness? Kennedy asked.
Are we starting right with Lacey's episodes, or the beginning of the season?
Donovan asked.
Right with Lacey's, of course, Kennedy said in a duh voice.
Of course, I agreed with a wink at him. His brows shot down with that response for some reason.
Okay, push play.
The theme song for the show sang out. Donovan reached over and rested his hand on my ankle. I pretended not to feel it, even though every nerve up my leg sung. The episode started, and I kept my eyes glued to the television. Instead of moving his hand back to his lap, he kept it there. When I came on the screen, I could feel both Donovan's and Kennedy's eyes shift between the television and me a couple of times, obviously curious about how I'd react. Or maybe they were just comparing the on-screen version of me to the real one. I was just trying to get through this. I was trying to sit here long enough to convince the room I was fine so that I could leave without an inquisition. Donovan's hand, still on my ankle, wasn't helping. I heard a distant buzzing from the other room, and I realized, with great relief, that it was my phone. My phone is ringing, I said, moving my feet to the floor. It's probably my dad.
Do you want me to pause it? Kennedy asked. No, that's okay. I've seen it before.
I gave her a smirk, and she laughed. By the time I reached it, my phone was still again. With my phone now charged, I saw 3 missed calls from my dad. I took a deep breath and called my dad back.
Where are you?
Was how he answered. At a friend's?
Lacey, this is information you need to tell me before it happens.
I'm sorry. It was a last-minute decision. I'll come home now.
Good.
We hung up, and I leaned against the counter for a moment, letting myself just breathe. Then I unplugged my phone from the charger and turned. Donovan stood in the passage between the kitchen and living room. I jumped, my hand flying to my chest. Then I laughed. You scared me.
Why are you doing that?
Doing what? I asked. He took a few steps into the kitchen.
Why are you putting on an everything is fine face?
I kind of hated that he knew I was doing this. I thought I was a better actress than that. Because everything is fine. I'm feeling better. I need to go. I held up my phone. That was my dad. I took off the hoodie I wore, walked it to Donovan, then poked my head into the living room. I have to go, Kennedy. It was nice to meet you. She jumped up and ran into the kitchen.
It was so nice to meet you, too. You need to come back and finish watching this with us. Please.
I nodded once. I will. She gave me a quick hug, then ran back into the living room. Donovan smiled a little.
You made her life.
She made mine. I walked back through his house into the front door, where I turned around, feeling him behind me. You don't have to walk me out.
Lacey, what happened? What did I do?
Nothing. I just don't want you to feel some sort of obligation toward me.
Obligation?
Can we just talk tomorrow? I'm so tired. The smile I had been doing such a good job of keeping on my face slid off, and with it, my shoulders slumped.
Yes, we can,
he said, and opened the door for me. Despite what I had said, he walked me out. When I saw my car sitting in his driveway, I remembered he had driven it here. Your car, I said. Is it at school? I can take you to go get it. Yes, let me do that.
It's okay. My mom can drop me off at school tomorrow on her way to work. I'll get it then.
Okay. Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Okay. I took several steps toward my car when Donovan grabbed my hand and gave it a gentle tug, turning me back toward him.
Things will look better in the morning.
I nodded. He kissed my forehead again. Even though I wanted to melt into the comfort of it, I was beginning to think that was his pity move. He felt sorry for me. It was the same thing he'd done earlier. And after, I was the one who'd kissed him. Then he'd apologized for it. I turned back toward my car and took several more steps before irritation took over. I turned around. I don't need your pity, I said. There. That made me feel better, getting that out of my head.
My what?
He asked, eyes narrowing. You said you don't date actresses.
I don't.
But you're fine kissing them?
No. I mean, yes. Not them. You. I'm fine kissing you.
He raked his hands through his hair as if he didn't mean what he said at all, as if he was frustrated with himself. You don't need to kiss me because you feel sorry for me, I said.
You think I just go around kissing girls I feel sorry for?
I wouldn't know.
Well, I don't.
Good, because girls don't like that, me included.
I don't feel sorry for you.
I groaned at the sky. Of course you do. He closed the space that I'd created between us, took my face in his hands, and kissed me. My breath seemed to be sucked from my body, and my lips stung. I shouldn't have, but I answered back, grabbing onto his shoulders and pressing myself against him. Why did this have to feel so good? I pushed him away, panting for breath. He lowered his voice.
Lacey, listen. I feel bad about what's happening to you, but this is definitely not pity.
Isn't it? Because that's what it feels like. I feel like some problem you're trying to solve. His jaw tightened.
I'm not an actor. I don't kiss people unless I mean it.
I gasped. Well, at least when I kiss people for real, I don't pretend like it meant nothing. He looked up as though trying to piece together the meaning of those words. I was about to turn and walk away when he said,
My sister? Is this about what I said to my sister?
No. Maybe.
My sister is your biggest fan. She'd mean well, but she'd post it all over online if her brother was dating Lacey Barnes. I didn't think you needed that complication right now. And besides, I didn't hear you rush to tell her there was something between us either.
I was about to. He went still.
You were?
All the anger and irritation I felt seemed to seep out of my body. I leaned into him, putting my forehead against his chest. His hands moved up and down my back. I'm sorry, I said.
For what?
You're right. I'm not okay. I'm a mess right now. Maybe it isn't a good time to start whatever this is. There's too much negativity. He nodded.
I understand. I don't want to be another complication in your life right now.
You aren't. You won't be. I just need to sort everything out. He wrapped me up in his arms, holding me.
I could feel the pulse in his neck against my temple.
"Will you kiss my forehead again?" I asked.
He chuckled a little.
"Are you mocking me?"
"Not at all." He pressed his lips to my forehead, and I closed my eyes. There was something so sweet about this gesture. Something beyond passion, beyond lust. It felt like he cared. Like he truly cared.
He pulled back, and I met his eyes. "Thank you for today. You made it bearable." With that, I got in my car and left to face my dad. 31. I slid my key into the lock at home, but my dad swung open the door before I even had to turn it. I took several steps into the room before I saw Leah sitting on the couch.
"Hi."
"Hi, Lacey." I hadn't talked to her since the firing, and I still felt bad.
"I'm sorry he fired you."
She rolled her eyes.
"It's not your fault. Remy and me, well, I'm sure you know by now."
I heard. I went to the kitchen and filled a glass with water.
"Why the disappearing act today?"
Dad asked. I needed to get offset.
"You need to tell me these things. How am I supposed to feel when I show up and you aren't there and nobody knows where you are?"
"I don't know. Worried, I guess."
"You guess?
I mean, you could just not show up. Then it would have been fine. I would have been home by curfew."
"That's not how it works, Lacey."
"Believe me, I know."
"You're not helping your case here,"
Dad said. "If I apologize, can I go to bed?"
"Not with that attitude."
I glanced over his shoulder to Leah. "By the way, that missing zombie section, it was in Amanda's trailer. Maybe if you tell Remy, you can get your job back." Then I looked at my dad. "I will text you my every move from now on." I walked into my bedroom and did something I hadn't done in years. I slammed the door. 30 minutes later, there was a soft knock on my door.
"Dad, I don't want to talk right now."
"It's Leah." I didn't want to talk to anyone, but at least I wasn't angry with her.
"Come in."
She opened the door and sat in the chair at my small desk.
"So Amanda took it."
"I found it in her trailer."
"I'm sorry, Lacey. I know you two are friends."
I sat up and leaned against the wall.
"If you want to go in and talk to Remy, I'll tell him where I found it."
She shook her head before I even finished the sentence.
"No, I don't. I already have another job lined up. It's not me I'm worried about."
"You don't need to worry about me. Now that I know it's her, I'll watch my back."
"I'm more worried about your future."
"Did my dad send you in here to tell me to do my homework and go to college?" She laughed a little.
"No, and even if he asked me to, I wouldn't tell you that. I mean, you should definitely do your homework and graduate from high school. But you're an amazing actress, Lacey. You're getting a lot of experience if this is what you want to do with your life."
"It is."
"Good."
She clasped her hands and let out a breath.
"I read that article."
I sighed. That article was never going to go away. "That's what you're worried about? Do you think people won't like me because of it?"
"It's not that. You need to be less concerned about what the public thinks and more concerned about what Remy thinks. You need to talk to him."
"I should tell him I didn't do those things? That Amanda did?"
"Maybe. But you really need to convince him that you are a professional. He is the one other directors will call when deciding whether to give you a job. He is the one who might have a role come across his desk in the future and think you would be perfect for it. He will play a part in your career, and you have to make sure that article, that the drama on set, isn't making him think twice about your abilities."
"You're right,"
I know. Thank you for that advice. You're welcome. She stood, but stopped. Can I give you one more tiny piece of advice? Yes? Take everything your dad says and put it through the "I'm extremely worried about my daughter who I love so much" filter. He's being unreasonable. I know. It's partially my fault because I've told him way too many horror stories. So forgive me for that. But it's also that you're growing up. That's hard for parents.
I'll try to apply that filter, but he needs to apply a couple filters of his own.
She smiled. Good night. Good night. As I approached Remy's trailer the next day, I heard loud voices coming from inside. I stopped and waited. I couldn't make out what they were saying, but after a few minutes, the door was flung open, and Aaron came storming out. When he saw me, the scowl dropped off his face, and his eyes went to the gravel that made up the parking lot.
"You okay?" I asked.
"Fine," he mumbled, and kept walking. This might not have been good timing after a fight with his son, but I pressed forward. I knocked on the wall outside Remy's trailer because Aaron had left the door open. Remy sat at a desk flipping through what looked like some revisions on the script because the pages were blue. He looked as stressed as I felt. He glanced up with the knock and dropped the pages to the desk when he saw me. He beckoned me in with a wave of his hand.
"Lacey, come in. You're my third visitor already this morning."
It was early, before first call. I wasn't on the call sheet today, but I knew I couldn't put this off. I stepped into his trailer, leaving the door open.
"Third?"
"Faith, my son. And you."
Faith was here. Did it have to do with me?
He waved his hand.
"No, it was nothing. What can I do for you?"
"Did you read the article about me online?"
"I did."
"They're talking about your movie. That's good, right?"
A toothy grin spread across his face.
"No publicity is bad publicity? Is that the angle you're going with?"
"And sticking to," I said.
He let out a surprised laugh.
"I'm remembering why we hired you. You're spunky. I had forgotten in all your greenness."
"I know I'm green, but I wanted to talk to you about the fact that someone is setting me up." I hadn't convinced myself I was going to use Amanda's name yet. I just wanted him to know I was professional, that I hadn't actually done all those things.
"Setting you up?"
"Someone is trying to make me look bad." His expression that had softened with my speech went hard again.
"Lacey, I don't need drama on my set."
Okay, so he didn't want to hear it. He thought I was being immature and paranoid. I would only sound more immature if I insisted I was right. That was fine. I knew who was setting me up, and I would make sure she knew I wasn't going anywhere. "You're right. I'm done with drama. I'm here to work. I just wanted you to know that."
"I'm happy to hear it."
32. I left Remy's trailer and headed for my own. Amanda must have seen me out her window as I walked by because she came flying out the door.
"Lacey!"
She gave me a hug.
"Don't you love it up here? I used to camp with my family all the time. We should have a campfire tonight in the trees and tell ghost stories."
I stood frozen to my spot, still not sure what I wanted to say to her.
"What's wrong?" she asked.
"Nothing, I'm just tired."
"You have another day off, though, lucky."
She paused, seeming to realize what she just said.
"Wait, if you have today off, why did you drive all the way up here?"
"I needed to talk to Remy about you, actually." I wasn't one to hold things in. I knew this about myself.
"What's that supposed to mean?"
"I know what you did.
What you took? I'm still trying to figure out why, though. A thought occurred to me. Was it for Grant? To help him out? Were you trying to get rid of me? Hoping someone better would be put in my spot?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I found what you took. You might as well come clean. Maybe this wasn't the place for this discussion, with the security guards behind us and crew members walking by.
Found what?
She'd probably moved it by now, but I pointed to her trailer. I'll show you.
Okay.
She held her hand out to the side, inviting me to lead the way. I marched up the 2 metal steps and to the small kitchen, where I yanked open the drawer, half expecting it to be gone. She had followed behind me and stood looking over my shoulder. We both saw it at the same time, the unassuming red plastic case sitting there.
What the?
She lifted it out of the drawer and immediately opened it, as if to verify what it was.
I did not put this here.
Right.
I didn't. Why would I put it here of all places? If I took this, I would have put it as far away from me as possible.
That logic tripped me up. You might as well just admit it. I just want to know why. To help Grant? To help yourself? Maybe she'd been worried about my effect on the movie's reputation, too.
I didn't do this. I swear.
It doesn't matter, because I'm not going anywhere. You can try all you want, but I'm here to stay. I earned this part, and I'm keeping it because I'm good.
I agree. You are, and you should. I like you, Lacey. I thought we were friends. I would never do this.
It was hard to fight with someone when they seemed so concerned and sincere. I crossed my arms. I didn't actually tell Remy, but I'm on to you, I mumbled. I fled to my trailer, leaned back against the door, and let myself cry again. Waiting in front of someone's house until they got home from school was not creepy behavior, especially not after telling said person that I needed to sort things out, implying that lots of space was needed. He was obviously giving it to me. He hadn't called, texted, or stopped by in 24 hours. Scratch that, 20 hours. And 8 of those hours had probably been spent sleeping. Another 8 he'd been at school. So that left 4 hours where he hadn't called, texted, or visited me. 4 hours! Okay, I was being creepy. But that thought didn't make me turn the key in the ignition and drive away. I checked the clock on my phone. School had gotten out 30 minutes ago. I'd been sitting here for 30 minutes. Maybe he had something after school. Paper stuff. Or maybe he worked right after school. I pulled up my messages again to make sure I hadn't missed any. You could just text him, Lacey, instead of being creepy. There was a knock at my window and I screamed. Very loud. Then I looked over to see Donovan standing there. I powered down the window.
Hi, he said with a smile. Were you talking to yourself?
I matched his smile because I couldn't help it. Seeing him made me happy. It had been 20 and a half hours, after all. Yes?
Should I leave you alone to finish that out?
No. I think I'd made my point to myself pretty clear. He patted the top of my car.
Did you want to come in?
I nodded, and he opened the door for me. How is school? I asked as we headed up his walk.
Good. How are you?
Not great.
I'm sorry.
We stopped on the porch, and he fished out his keys and opened the door. Is your sister here right now? I asked.
No. She has volleyball.
We walked inside, where he dropped his backpack and then led me into the kitchen.
Can I get you anything?
You have a trampoline, I said. The window over the sink had a nice view of the backyard.
We do.
I haven't been on a trampoline in years.
My mom calls them bone breakers and won't let my sister and